So today we get to have a conversation. I call it a conversation, even though it's I'm talking to you and you barely talk back to me. So let's keep this a conversation. I want to have a conversation about being grateful for where God, or how God has made you and where he has you even now, regardless of circumstance, and how we can do that and how we can go through that. And I know for some people, that's a difficult thing. For some people, it's an easy thing, and everybody else in between. So that's what the conversation we're going to have today. So I want to start with us together, and I'm saying this together because I don't want to do this alone. I want us to sing a song that you might have learned when you were a kid, in Sunday school particularly. And the words are going to be on screen, and I want you to sing along with me. If I were a butterfly, I thank you, Lord, for giving me. And if I were a robin in a tree, I thank you, Lord, that I could. And if I were a fish in the sea, I'd wiggle my tail and I'd wiggle with glee. But I just thank you, Father, for making me, me. Let's take it home. 'Cause you gave me a heart and you gave me a smile. You gave me Jesus and you made me your child. And I just thank you, Father, for making me, me. Good job, guys. See, the song teaches us to be thankful for how God made us, right? And the talents that he bring us, that he brought to us, that we can use for his glory. The song, though, assumes that we accept and are satisfied to the way we are made. And I'm not sure everybody's like that. I sure have things that I wish would be different about me. I mean, we're talking about our physical appearance, our abilities and talents that we were gifted with, and the things that we were not gifted with. How grateful are we for that? The family, the culture that we were born into, our place in history, and everything else that we did not have any decision or choice over, how grateful are we of those things? And then there's that saying that usually is said during graduation, and you hear this a lot, that the world is your oyster. See, I grew up in Manila, and I don't know what the heck that means. I mean, do you eat it? With a little Tabasco? The world is your oyster. So I asked the smartest person I know. I Googled it. And this is what it says. It means that you can achieve anything you wish in life or go anywhere because you have the opportunity or ability to do so. So now I have the butterfly song telling me that I should just be grateful for what I have, and the oyster phrase telling me that I can be whoever I choose to be. So is the me I'm supposed to be grateful for the me that was, the me that is now, or the me that is to be? And then, I know a few of you know this, and there's that song that was popular around the mid-90s. It's called I Wish by Ski-Lo. And if you don't know this part, then you won't be singing this with me. I wish I was a little bit. I wish I was a. I wish I had a girl who looked good so I would. Thank you. The three people list. I wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat in a 6'4". Ah, yes. Cadillac was the one that rhymes. So he's actually said Impala. 64 Impala. But, you know, wishing for better things is great. Wishing you were not you? I think we can all agree that you cannot be thankful if you're wishing for something else or to be someone else. And then it's all about, well, what am I thankful for? It is like when you're convinced you are receiving that Christmas gift that you've been begging for, and then you get something else. Like wanting that latest video game system. I was asking the younger guys before, what's the latest video game system now? PS5, Xbox S. You know, we're thinking, and I hope the kids are not watching, we're thinking of buying our kids the first gaming system this year, the Nintendo Switch Ultra. I don't know what it's called. Yeah. So maybe I should just buy them an Atari, right? Psalms 139:14. Let's get to the meat of the message here. It says, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. And there's the same passage where it talks about that God made us and knitted us in our mother's womb intricately and with delight. The way he wanted to make us exactly the way he purposed it. In the King James Version, in the NIV, and in the ESV, they use the words fearfully and wonderfully made. In the New American Standard Bible, this is how it reads. It reads, I will give thanks to you because I am awesomely and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Awesomely and wonderfully. I don't know about you, but there are days that I don't feel so awesome and so wonderful. Is it just me? And yet that's what scripture is dictating that I should be grateful for. And that's what it says. See, regardless of the version that you may read that passage on, it tells us a couple of things that I think are so important. And here are the main points of the message. I'm giving it early on so that we can continue our conversations as we talk about this topic more. First, God created you personally and purposely, created you intimately and uniquely to bring him glory. The color of the skin that you have was God's choice. The family that you were born into, God's choice. The timeline you were born into, God's choice. The gifts and the disabilities, God's choice. Every trait and characteristic that we were crafted for by God, his choice. Check this out. For his pleasure and for his purpose. It's easier said, right? So easy, because I was reading it. I don't need to feel it. I don't even need to believe it. I can say it. The songs that we sing at church shares it. But do we believe it? It reminds us of the sovereignty of God. That in this ginormous universe, that he created everything according to his personal little detail. He made you, he made me. God said, this is how I want you to be. God said to this one, you're going to be born in the Philippines. And later on, you will live your adulthood in the United States. He said to this one, you would be of this skin color. Yes, you can wish you were lighter skinned or darker skinned, but God said, this is the skin color he's going to have. God said, you will be born in 1970. I just told you my age. And at 51 years old, at this moment, at this time, on this Thanksgiving Sunday, you get to share at Vista Church. It's where he brought me. Yes, there's a lot of things about my past, about who I am, that I wish is different. But God has allowed me to be here, to be right now. How do you feel of how life is going on so far? You know, I got to wear this jacket. It was a little bit cold this morning, right? I know some of you are wearing your Uggs. Is that still a thing? I don't know. But every time I wear this, I only wear it about once a year, if so. For some reason, it shrinks. That's my wife laughing first. But how grateful are you when you looked at the mirror this morning? Yeah, do you have that honest look, that honest evaluation? How grateful are you that God created you to be you? All are created in this image, right? And yet, we're all created uniquely for his pleasure. See, I'm really glad that we were not all created the same. Because that would be really strange, right? Let me make fun of that a little bit. Imagine if we all look alike, sound alike, talk alike, sing alike, do everything alike, dance alike, be attractive alike, or not attractive alike. Now, how would you choose your mate? Random? how would you know what you're attracted to and what you're not attracted to? How about your sense of beauty? What is beautiful? What is not? I'm talking about the physical stuff, right? But we have other things. Your likes and dislikes when it comes to food. I'm not a big fan of turkey for Thanksgiving. Thank you that I get to share that honestly. And then now I feel bad because I need to apologize to my father-in-law who cooked this giant turkey for lunch yesterday that my son Caden sang La Bamba to. But I'm not a fan of turkey. Is everybody here a fan of turkey? Guys, if turkey is so good, why do you have to serve it with dressing? And why do you have to put cranberry and gravy all over it? I mean, think about that for a second, all right? I just offended half of you. Psalms 92, this is what it says. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening, accompanied by a 10-stringed instrument, a harp, and the melody of a lyre, or a turntable for some of you. You thrill me, Lord, with all you have done for me. I sing for joy because of what you have done. Guys, it's not suggested that we should be grateful. It's commanded that we ought to be grateful. It's not optional. You know, let me address the difficulty of preaching a message, having a conversation about gratitude. I know, and you know, that it's been a rough year for some people. I mean, it's been a rough 2 years, right? Since this pandemic thing, craziness happened, and the uncertainty about it. Some of us lost loved ones. Some of us lost our jobs. Some of us did not get what we planned for. Some of us wished we are in a different position in life, situation, circumstance. Some of us did not get that dream that we thought we had. It comes in timelines. You know, when I was 25, I thought I knew everything. I'll forget that. When I was 14, I thought I knew everything. Are you with me? And then, but around 30s, you should be in that career already that you ought to be for the rest of your life, right? Are you all with me? Are you still tracking with me here? And by 40, you should already be, now we're climbing that career ladder somehow, right? And you're not aiming for, now this is my highest and best, and then eventually somehow in the future, I get to retire. And that's what you're thinking. If you're talking about relationships, if you're thinking when you were a teenager, all you can dream about is dream for that person that God has for you and how they're supposed to look. And of course, you know better than God because you have a specific idea of how they're supposed to look, what they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to act. Are y'all still tracking with me? Right? And hopefully by mid-20s, that person or you will have someone to give a ring to or receive a ring from. Right? And then get married and hopefully have a job by then and have the kids. And what if it doesn't work out that way? In my mid-40s, God told this guy, who's supposed to be grateful, then his career change. I was serving in full-time ministry. And then God said, nope, thank you, you're done. And all I can think about is like, what in the world did I do wrong? Now what? It was hard. It was difficult. It was weird. And yet I'm still in front of you right now. It's strange how God has it. I have to remind myself over and over and over again that I am blessed because I get to be a part of His story. And He is not about, He loves me, He cares for me, He forgave me, He blesses me. He provides for me. He still forgives me. Did you hear that? I get the joy to live for Him. But the world does not belong to me. It's not about me. As we move on, 1 Thessalonians 5 puts it this way. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong in Christ Jesus. And that's the hard part. It's a command, not a suggestion. And to be thankful in all, not a few, not even some, not even the majority. He says all circumstance. The ability to be thankful regardless of the circumstance is, I believe, something that can be only accomplished with God. By His mercy, by His grace, to the hope of Christ. I've said this to myself, I'm sure you've said it too. When people are going through a difficult time, and those they don't know Jesus, that cannot trust in God, you wonder how they go through it, right? If you put that into perspective, understanding that God is directing our attention away from the things that are draining, and at the same time giving us hope and courage to face whatever you're going through. I want you to know this, church. If you're going through a difficult season right now, it's okay to mourn and still be grateful. You're not alone. We're church for that reason. We get to walk with this together. We celebrate together. We mourn together. And whether you are celebrating or whether you are mourning, together we are thankful. Because He's still here. He's still with you. He's still with me. He's still with us. So many try to desperately be in a different situation or at times be someone else. Trying to change situations that we think will make us feel loved or more safe or more joyful. You know, I believe circumstance may heighten those things, but I don't think it's the circumstance that causes them. You know who is the author of love and joy and peace and security? I mean, you know the answer, right? It's God who creates those things. He's the one who authors those things. And if you live in a way that you think changing your circumstance will give you all that, then you live a very exhausting life. I know because I tried it. I know because I know a lot of us have tried it. I know because I know some of us are still trying it. Let me share you the gospel. Jesus loves you. He knows that you have fallen short of His expectations. He knows that you need Him. And Jesus died on that cross, resurrected from the dead, so He can call you back home if you trust Him. You have a choice. The exhausting way or the grace-filled way. Psalms 46 put this way, beginning from verse 1 through 5. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam, let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. I don't know what the psalmist is thinking, but I've never prayed that prayer before. Lord God, let the hurricane come and make it hard. Unless you're a roofer. Verse 4, a river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. It cannot be destroyed. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. God will protect it. God will protect it. Regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the hurricane, regardless of the storms that you face, to those who need refuge and strength, know that His grace and mercy have not left you. So people pray for peace, for security, for joy, right? Thinking that it's still to come. To those who know Christ, it's already here. It's now. It's not something that you wish would happen. In your thinking, you know, sometimes we have this false narrative, of this false thinking that in our situation, that if God will only take us out of that situation, then those things will come. Jesus says, no, you're in that situation and I'm there with you, bringing all those things right now. Amen. You cannot be grateful for that. I don't know what you can be grateful for. I'm so grateful that regardless of what I'm facing, as difficult as it may be, Jesus is here with me. And that's the peace that we have, that he brings. The key to, I believe, being thankful to God for making you you and trusting in what he wants is best for you is that the idea that God wants more for us than what we want for ourselves. Do you believe that? You know, when I used to pray and I had to grow out of it, and it took me a long time to grow out of it, I told God what I want. Lord, this is what I want. You know, the story about a persistent widow in scripture, that was like my hero. I'm like, I'm going to be persistent with what I want with God. Took a long time for me to come to begin to understand, Lord, what you want for me is better than I want for myself. And because of that, I can be grateful. Lord, what you want for me is better than what I want for myself. God wants the best for you. It's interesting that we live in this culture where, you know, have a friend come to you before with a big question because they're going through something and they share their heart out and you don't have the answers. So what do you say? Well, do what's best for you. It's a cop-out answer. Do what's best for you, because it's the answer that, well, I really don't know the answer, so just do what's best for you. And it's funny because they didn't come to you to hear that. All right? When you're going with a dilemma and you go to somebody for an answer and they tell you, do what's best for you, you're like, oh, that's why I came to you, because I don't know what's best for me. We live in this culture right now that's what it dictates us. Just do what's best for you. I said, if I made a choice and I thought and I did what I thought was best for me, then everything is going to be right. Eh. How many of you found out that doesn't work? Because when you do what's best for you, then you're letting you decide who you ought to be, where you ought to go, and what you need to do, what you need to dream about, rather than going to God and say, Lord, you made me and knitted me for a purpose, brought me to where I am right now. You have a purpose for me. You have a plan for me. And your purposes for me is better than what I can purpose for myself. I'm talking to the college student who's changed majors a handful of times already. I'm talking to that single person that's still waiting for that right one. I'm talking to the people that lost loved ones or their spouse left them or life is not going the way it's supposed to be. Pastor Brandon said it, the best is yet to come. Do you believe that? Because that's how you can be grateful for where God has you in right now. What stops it? You know, in my notes, I wrote the word self-focus. The more I think about it, the more I prayed about it, let me just get to the point. What stops it is actually a selfish focus. When we think it's all about me. You know, during the holiday season, there's a popular sermon that you hear about consumerism. Almost, I'm like, you hear this. When someone's talking about Advent season and talking about Christmas, there's always a sermon about how the church should not have a consumerist mentality, right? That they should not treat the church just like a consumer would treat anything else in life. That we tend to choose church based on what we personally prefer. And it should not be like that. Just like how you shop for a new car. It's beyond just having a safe transportation. You get to think about, you know, the options that you want. Does it have good, comfortable seating? Does it have a good sound system? How does it look? How does it feel? Because if you don't think like that, then it's not the car for you. You know, you want leather seats so soft, it's like a baby's butt. Sorry, I should have not said that. I mean, going even deeper, I recognize that sometimes it may even get worse. We begin to think beyond the consumerism mentality that we now begin to think that we are the gift to the church. Hear me out. That because I'm here and I get a check mark in the attendance, man, good for the church. They have me here. Our service, the way we serve, the way we give, the way we minister. Oh, that is awesome. Good for the church. They got me for that. The offering. Yes, my offering dictates that we can hire more staff. And therefore, we can do more ministries. As if the health of the church is based upon our offering. But do you see the selfishness in that? At these self-centered or selfish moments, we forget that it should be about Christ. Again, back to Him, His love, His hope, His grace, His mercy. And that is the church. And we are undeservingly blessed to be a part of it. Amen. Lord, thank you that I get to attend. Lord, thank you that I get to serve. Lord, thank you that I get to give. I got to make this clear. It's not our gratefulness that causes us to obey. It may encourage us to be faithful, but it's your faith that causes you to obey. Maybe you've said this before, you know, to be ungrateful for how God made you leads to this selfish attitude that it's all about me. And I want you guys to hear this out. It hurts relationships. It shrinks our faith. It kills our confidence. And ultimately, it will steal your joy. When it creeps into our families and our friendship and our work, it turns something that's supposed to be beautiful to something so burdensome. So we need to ask which areas of our lives have drifted into that mainly self-only focus. Now, thinking about self and having an honest self-evaluation is a good thing. But your self-evaluation leads to selfishness that nothing else is considered. And that's a really bad thing. Don't you agree? Pray that God will reveal to those of us that we should receive His forgiveness and that we can turn this all into Him. Hebrews 12, 1-3 puts it this way. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting Him, He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now He's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Verse 3, and a lot of times we skip this. Think of all the hostility He endured from sinful people, then you won't become weary and give up. Some manuscripts on that same verse writes this way, think of how people hurt themselves by opposing God. Opposing Him only by focusing on self and not God. So I think this is where the battle lies when it comes to our attitude of being grateful or not grateful. I think the battle lies on who we trust wants the best for us. Romans 12 puts it this way, and who decides what is good, pleasing and perfect. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Do not copy the behavior and customs of this world. Do not pretend to be somebody else. Do not wish that you're someone else. Do not wish you're in someone else's position. But let God transform you in a new person by changing the way you think, and then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. A long time ago, I would always remember, maybe it will help you, your acronym GPP. I always think about that. How would I know I'm walking in God's will when I know it's good, perfect, and pleasing to Him? That's how I double check myself. Triple check myself. Multiple times checking if I'm doing and I'm walking with Him. It's when I forget. And then I realize, is that I forget him. John Piper's thoughts on Romans 12:2. There are moral crusades of all kinds that are not grounded in God, let alone Christ. So Paul goes further and adds acceptable or pleasing. He means acceptable to God, the same word that is used in verse 1 where it says explicitly related to God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. See, God will never command imperfection. His goal for us is always perfection. I want you guys to see those three things: good, perfect, and pleasing. They're not individuals, meaning, well, if something is good, that might be from God. If something is pleasing, that must be from God. Something is perfect, it's not from God. If you are walking with God and doing the things of God and grateful to God where you are, then everything is good, everything is perfect, and everything is pleasing. Are y'all with me? As I told you, it's a conversation. It's all together. That's how you know you're walking with God. And you can be thankful that we are created into that and brought into that and to be brought out of that to become. Here's how the passage puts it. Thankful to be created in this image. Genesis 1:27. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So he created us in his own image. And then we are thankful so because he can renew us also in his image. Colossians 3:10. Put on your new nature, new self. Be renewed as you learn to know your creator and become like him. And it's not done. We need to be thankful because there's more and more as he transforms. We can be more and more like him. 2 Corinthians 3:18. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changing this into his glorious image. And it's not done. Still to be thankful for being called and given spiritual gifts. And therefore, we may pursue and exercise them in worship. Romans 12:6-9. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God given you the ability to prophesy, speak out as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, then be encouraging. If it is giving, then give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if your gift is to show kindness to others, do it gladly. I like that verse because I always wondered, if you're not doing it gladly, is it kindness? Verse 9, don't pretend to love others. I wonder why it has to be written that way. I think the writer puts it that way, that do not pretend to love others, because the writer knows we're good at faking it. You know, Pastor Brandon gave a great series about masks, right? He talked about the fear, the anger, and he didn't take a light approach. He let us know. By the way, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can go to Vista Church's YouTube channel. Just like my daughter would say, better subscribe and like and subscribe, whichever. Make sure you go there, and you can watch the series. But Pastor Brandon took the series about masks because he knows, and he would admit it himself, that there's still masks that needs to be removed. What are yours? And let's just get straight to the point. If you're still wearing a mask, then you cannot be grateful for where God has you and how God has made you. Let's even get to the point even deeper. If you're still wearing a mask, then you're lying. Not just to God, but to yourself. And how can you be grateful? So would you pray that God would allow you to remove that mask? I want to say this. You can be grateful without a mask on. I'm grateful for where God has me right now, regardless of situation, as difficult as that may be. each of us can be truly thankful to God for making you you. Thank you for the you of the past, the you of the now, and the you that is still to become. I mean, just look where God has brought us. In the past couple of years, dealing with a pandemic, we don't know what the situation would be. We don't know where we'll be as a church, the health-wise. And then we went through a leadership transition, as if it's not weird enough. We went to a senior pastoral change, and sometimes things feel different and look different and all that stuff. But you know what? God never left. He's still here. He still loves us. He still offers himself to us daily, regularly, without taking a break. And check this out. He still calls us. That we can be grateful for. So I challenge us, church family, regardless if you're grateful in time of celebration or in time of sorrow, I want you to share it. I want to walk with you. We want to walk with you. We want to walk with each other. And it's okay. You can take off your mask. Isn't that a good thing? Would you stand and pray with me? Lord, we thank you because we are awesomely, wonderfully, and with complexity, we know you made us. Wonderful are your works, and our soul knows it very well. Thank you for making me me. Thank you for blessing me when I need you. Thank you for blessing me even when I forget you. Thank you for blessing me for where I am now. And thank you that you're there and taking me where you want me next. Help me understand that you want what's best for us. That you know what's better for myself than I know for myself. And we will all give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.